Hi, everyone. Welcome to Making Hope. I am your host, Kimberly Dudick, and this season, we are talking about ways you can take steps every single day to fight back against sexism and oppression and fight for reproductive justice and abortion access. We're focusing on what we can do at a state level and what we can do at a local level with cities and counties where local officials can prioritize reproductive justice and implement policies to help with abortion access. This can occur even in red anti-choice states that attempt to ban legal abortions. On the last episode, we talked about how local rules can support reproductive rights by supporting and protecting the workers who work at locations providing abortion care, and also protect those who try and access these clinics. Listen to the last episode to hear more. On this episode, we're going to dig into that a little bit more. We're going to specifically talk about how local rules can protect those who attend or work at clinics that provide abortion care, and it protects them from hostile environments created by anti-choice protests. This is one way that anti-choice activists are trying to stop individuals from accessing abortions. They're loudly protesting outside these clinics. The protesters may try to sway public opinion against allowing legal abortions by attempting to scare people about those abortions, about what they are, and make them seem like murder of babies. If you see these protesters, they frequently hold signs that have horrible pictures of bloody fetuses or other scary images that really seem intended to scare people and make them think that abortion care is horrible and should not be permitted. You'll also see like little children, very, very young, holding these signs sometimes when they're out protesting with their parents. These protests may be loud, or those participating in them may harass anyone who dares to attempt to enter the abortion care clinic. They create a hostile environment near the clinics, and they also sometimes amplify their voices using megaphones and other ways to really create loud, disruptive environments that go well beyond the immediate clinic that they are protesting by. In the U.S., we have freedom of speech, and that's a good thing. And we also have the ability to peaceably protest. But these rights don't allow unfettered harassment and hostile actions. Local governments can strike the balance between respecting freedom of speech and the ability to peaceably protest, but also not allow a hostile, harassing environment to be created from these protesters. They can do this by passing noise ordinances that will restrict the ability of these anti-choice activists to really create the intimidating environment they seem dedicated to creating. One example of this kind of ordinance was proposed in June of 2022 in Richmond, Virginia. Mayor LeVar Stoney proposed a new Richmond City ordinance that would allow law enforcement to better respond to loud protests outside clinics that provide abortion care. This was proposed because the city received thousands of noise complaints the year before, but they saw that the cases rarely led to any legal prosecution against those protesting. And this was because the noise ordinance in existence at the time was difficult to enforce. So, when things are difficult, this of course led to it not being enforced. The proposed ordinance has changed this. According to an Axios article on the ordinance, it was determined to be necessary because the harassment and hostile environment around the abortion care clinics was real. People living in the city were complaining that even though they were blocks away, they may have lived blocks away from the clinic, those individuals repeatedly were forced to listen to abhorrent harassment that was loudly amplified. The new ordinance has changes that would allow police officers to better respond when they receive a complaint about a loud protest outside of a clinic. The ordinance changed the classification of what kind of law the protesters were violating. The ordinance changed the offense that they would be charged with, downgrading it from being a criminal misdemeanor crime, which means that you can receive a sentence in jail that you have to serve as well as a fine, to a lower grade offense, a civil offense, and this would have a civil penalty. This means that you would only be fined and that you would not have to serve jail time. By downgrading it, it means that the protester wouldn't be in jail, but they would face a fine. But the key part of it is that it allows law enforcement officers to immediately write tickets when they're at these protests, and it allows for more streamlined legal enforcement. So the fact that the ordinance wasn't enforced before would change, and this one would now be enforced. The ordinance also specifically targeted noise around healthcare clinics. And this was because really the ordinance was in response to these protests that they were seeing around clinics providing abortion care. So as long as a clinic provides notice that they are a healthcare facility quiet zone by posting a sign that says this, the ordinance is in effect. And it specifically means that they cannot protest loudly around these clinics. If this is something that you're dealing with in your community, or even if it's not, and you want to make sure that your laws are strong enough to be enforced before it becomes an issue, talk to your local leaders. Tell them that you want them to take action so that there won't be these hostile, harassing situations and environments created by these protesters. So if you want to start, go ahead and sit down, relax a little, get something to drink, and write out what you'd like to see changed. Figure out who you're going to contact. This is usually, in this situation, the mayor, the city council, and the county commissioners. Write down what you want them to do. In this case, you would want them to enforce policies where people could not create hostile environments around healthcare facilities that provided abortion care, and that they couldn't create a hostile environment through their protest activities. If you don't feel like talking to them, go ahead and send an email. Let them know that you support these policies and regulations that will allow a peaceful environment to be in effect, and it won't be hostile or threatening or loud and harassing to people who live around these healthcare facilities. You can also do more in your personal sphere of influence. Your personal platform is power. Talk to others about your thoughts. Build your team to advocate for these changes. You are not the only one who wants to see something done about this. There are others in your community, and there are others throughout the nation who are working on this issue. We already talked about what happened in Richmond, Virginia. That's not the only place. Write into your local paper and share your thoughts there. Post online about what you want to see if that's how you take action. It's okay to take action however you're comfortable. Just go ahead and do something, because everything you do matters. These are steps that you can take to help protect the fundamental right to obtain an abortion. We are in turbulent times. They're not the worst times we've ever seen in this nation, but they are pretty bad, and they're pretty bad for a lot of people. One of the things we've seen is increasing violence and hatred, and that people feel emboldened to bully and act violently against others. These sorts of ordinances will crack down on that. With all the bad news we're hearing about, this is something that we can do that's positive. It's a positive step forward, and it will protect our rights. We have the power to shape the world we want, and we're not powerless to stop the rollback of reproductive freedom. It's time for us to act and push for the policies that will protect these rights. Thank you, as always, for joining us today. Stay tuned for the next episode to learn more ways you can act to protect reproductive rights. If you want to stay up to date, follow us on social media on Facebook and Instagram at Making Hope Podcast, and on Twitter at Making Hope Pod. If you want to reach out about these issues or any other issues that you're seeing or are concerned about, shoot us an email at makinghopepodcast@gmail.com. We really want to hear from you. This podcast is your tool to use in the fight for reproductive freedom, abortion access, and gender equity. We give you the ideas, and you take those ideas and put them into action. Together, we can lead this fight and make a better future for all of us. Until next time, keep fighting the good fight.